This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. There's been a lot of discussion about the Boston Marathon bombing trial and the toll it has taken on the city over the past several months. Many people are overwhelmed, maybe even traumatized, by the endless media reports that began with defense attorney Judith Clark's opening statement of he did it, all the way to last Friday when the jury handed Jahar Tsarnaev the death penalty.
But let's be honest, this was a federal trial. There was no actual audio or video from inside the courtroom. Some of the evidence presented at trial was released to the public, but not all. In other words, most of us were at a remove. If we wanted to turn it off, we could.
But what about the people inside the courtroom, specifically members of the jury? They could never turn it off. What toll has this trial taken on them?
We're going to talk to a couple people about this, beginning with Boston Globe columnist Kevin Cullen, who was in the courtroom during the entire trial. Welcome back to the show, Kevin.
Thanks, Meghna. Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, let me ask you, you were there on Friday when the jury's verdict of the death penalty was announced. Can I first ask you, what did they look like? How did they react?
As the moments passed, you could see there were so many jurors that were becoming emotional. And a lot of them kept going for their water bottles, and I think their mouths were dry. And then at one point, you know, there was a fellow who just kept removing his glasses and wiping his eyes. He was clearly taking tears out of his eyes. It was very, very emotionally wrenching to watch those people. Mm. And to know it, as I said to, I was talking to a friend in Dublin about it because he was so curious. I said, they looked wrecked. That's what they looked. They looked wrecked.
Yeah. I mean, I'm asking because me and you and I'm sure a lot of other people wonder if what you saw gave you any indication about that question that we're asking, like what toll do we think being a jury on this trial has taken on them?
Well, I think I heard you talking last week with a fellow that had been on the McVeigh jury,
yeah,
after in Denver after that. And that trial was moved to Denver, you know, because the defense raised questions, similar questions that this defense raised. But that's the other thing. And sometimes I think people forget that this jury came from the same community that was so grievously wounded on April 15th, 2013. And it's an awesome responsibility to have to decide whether someone lives or dies anyway. And then on top of it, almost feel as though you are by proxy the representative of your community, that you are sort of the tribal elders that have been brought together and marshaled into a room, and you have to make the decision. I just can't imagine. I can't imagine what that feels like.
Right. And I mean, hearing you say that, it makes me think that it's got to be perhaps that much more difficult for this jury because, you know, when they go home, they're still living in this community. And, you know, the community overall, as you pointed out in your column on Saturday, like 85% of Bostonians said they preferred life in prison.
Right. And those poll results came out in the middle of the case. And, you know, I wasn't surprised at the poll results, nor was I surprised that the jury decided with death because there are two different things, and that the people that were reacting to the polls were dealing with it in an abstract. And I think they weren't coming at this from a point of mercy. They were coming at it at a point of practicality. They, like the Richard family, like Bill and Denise Richard, just wanted this over. They wanted him put in a prison and we can forget about him and move on. But the jury did not have that luxury. There was that disconnect between what ordinary people on the outside of this courthouse thought and what the people who were sitting in that jury room believed.
And, I mean, you wrote about this weekend that the jury had to see absolutely everything in this trial, every right. last piece of evidence. I mean, including autopsy photos, which were judged too terrible to be shown in open court. I mean, can you just remind us some of what, you know, what the evidence was that the jury had to look at?
Well, I think that, first of all, the autopsy photos must have been, I mean, we saw them. We saw the horrified look of people's faces when they were looking at it in their video screens. We're just sitting there looking at them, and they're just, you know, covering their mouths. It just was horrific for them to see that. But the other thing, and we all saw this, but it was this sort of cinema verite of video from a cell phone of somebody outside Marathon Sports where the first bomb went off. And I remember reacting to it physically. I felt almost ill. And at one point, and it was unmistakable, it was Crystal Campbell's death wheel. And boy, it went through everybody. I just remember just reacting to that. I'm reacting to it, just recalling it. And that jury, you know, listened to that stuff, saw this stuff. And it was, you know, obviously there's an awful lot in the public domain, but this stuff wasn't. And it did make a difference. And then we get to the end of this process and you have a jury that had to have been traumatized by what they saw. But they did an extraordinary civic duty. And, you know, I'm sure there are people that disagree with what decision they came to, but they were the ones that had the duty to make that decision. They heard all the evidence, and you can only respect their opinion. And that's the way I feel. I have to respect where they came from, what they saw, and how they arrived at their conclusion.
Yeah. Kevin, I have to say that it's completely understandable to hear you choke up, even today, thinking about Crystal Campbell. And I know you're going to say that you were just doing your job, but I got to ask, I mean, you were there for months too. How are you doing? How do you think this is going to stay with you?
Well, it will stay with me, but I mean, I'm so glad the thing is over. It's something that had to be done, and I know that a lot of people wish that there wasn't a trial, that this was just pleaded out, and he went off and served his life sentence, and we all go on, but I've also talked to other people that said this was absolutely necessary for them. They had to go through it. I'm just glad it's over.
Yeah.
God.
Kevin Cullen is a columnist for the Boston Globe. He's also co-host of the WBUR and Boston Globe joint podcast, Finish Line, Inside the Boston Marathon Bombing Trial. You can find a link to the latest episode and to Kevin's recent column at our website, radioboston.org. Kevin, thank you so very much again.
Thanks, Megan. I appreciate it.
Well, as Kevin just suggested, we know that members of the jury had to see some very graphic images of those killed and injured in the attacks. Add to that the weight of a death penalty decision. And you might wonder what happens after a jury's duty is done. What kind of support is there to help them process and cope with all they have seen after the trial's over? The concept of juror stress is a real one, and Stacy Miles Thorpe has seen it firsthand. She's a senior victim witness counselor for Travis County in Texas, and she joins us now from the studios of KUT in Austin. And Stacy Miles Thorpe, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
So this might not be a subject that people naturally think of, but you've met and counseled jurors after some pretty difficult trials. Why is support necessary?
We are taking a group of people from our community, and as Kevin said, we're asking them to do a very serious civic duty. They have typically not been exposed to the images, the evidence that they're going to see in a trial. That's one of the reasons why they're qualified to serve on a jury. And so in doing their civic duty, sometimes they experience a tremendous amount of distress or even secondary trauma after a trial. So I feel like it's our responsibility in asking them to do that duty for us to provide some assistance or support afterward.
So I want to talk to you about the kinds of support that's available down there in Travis County, Texas. But what kinds of issues might members of a jury be dealing with or struggling to process after a trial?
One of the things that I saw in some of my research is that the most difficult thing ultimately for a jury is just the weight of their decision. They're making a decision that is going to impact many lives, and specifically in the Boston Marathon trial, they made the decision for the death penalty. So that can be a huge psychological burden.
Yeah, a big one. And then, of course, as we heard Magna discussing with Kevin, I mean, they're the issue of the images that they see. I gather that this can be difficult to shake those images. You've written about one particular case in which a female juror who served on a panel in 2010, it was a punishment trial related to an earlier murder case. What did that juror tell you about what she was dealing with?
She talked about the isolation of going through a trial. The judge will admonish the jury that they are not able to talk with anyone, including other jurors, about the trial, about the evidence, while the case is going on. This helps them keep an open, objective mind about everything that they're seeing. But what we usually do when we experience something difficult is frequently go home and talk about it with friends. They're not able to do this. And so she felt pretty burdened having to go through the week without being able to process it with anybody. And she talked about feeling every day her irritability, frustration growing until she was finally released from that constraint and able to process it with other people. But at that point, she did not feel like she wanted to traumatize anybody else by sharing what she'd seen and heard. So she just really carried it inside for a while until she was encouraged to find an outlet.
Right. Now, speaking of that and speaking of support for people like her, I understand that Texas is one of a couple of states, only two states, that authorize up to 10 hours of post-trial counseling for jurors. So what does that mean in a place like Travis County where you work? It's a large county with a large caseload. What kind of support is available for people?
We utilize our in-house counselors, and we're lucky enough to have victim witness counselors, many of whom are mental health professionals. And so we offer post-trial support to any jurors who may need it, extend an invitation to call our office and to talk with a victim witness counselor if they need to. When we have more difficult trials, or we can see during the trial that the jury is very affected emotionally, we will give them a letter, an information sheet as they're released from jury duty, and invite them to call or just remind them that this process can be stressful, to normalize that they may be having some emotions, some reactions afterward, and help remind them of good coping skills that they can use to return to normal functioning. But occasionally we do have jurors who call and just need extra support, need to come in and sit down and debrief with somebody. And we are able to offer that because we have counselors on staff who have that skill set.
Sure.
And so people do take us up on that occasionally.
I'm curious about this fact, if I'm reading it correctly, that Texas and Alaska are the only two states that authorize this kind of post-trial counseling, or that mandate it, or that make it available. Does that suggest to you that it should be available on a more widespread basis across the country?
I would encourage states to do that. I really would. Unfortunately, you know, in Texas, we are allowed to provide it. We're not mandated to provide it, and there's not funding available. So it's left to each county to make decisions for themselves what they can and will do for their jurors. So not all counties have a means of providing that support.
Yeah. Say something finally, if you would, Stacey, just about why this matters, because I'm thinking that most people listening to this, I mean, my guess is there's got to be a real sense of, oh my God, I'm so glad this trial is over. Most people listening to this won't have to sit on a jury that will have to make the kind of difficult decision that this jury had to make here in Boston. But why is it important to get this right for the folks that do sit on these juries?
We are a government agency, and I feel like it's our civic duty. We are asking people to step up, and we need community support in order to have a functioning criminal justice system. And so I feel like we, in return, owe our citizens the respect of being able to care for them after something like this. I've been thinking about the jurors in the Boston trial during the course of the trial, and imagining that they may be struggling tremendously afterward.
All right. Well, let's hope that they can get the support and help that they need. Stacey Miles Thorpe is a senior victim witness counselor for Travis County in the state of Texas. She joined us from Austin. Stacey, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Coming up, a Watertown librarian who's on the front lines in the fight for your privacy. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston. Thank you.